Morning, everyone. Just before we start the message today, and we'll be going to that later on in the slides, Calvin Koo, whom all of us know, one of our new House Church leaders, as some of you know, he has cancer. And so this is recent, and so they're doing a biopsy this morning at 8 a.m., so if you all can just maybe just spend a moment to pray for him, pray for Alicia as well, and pray for the whole family. Just spend maybe a moment to pray for them now. And Jesus, we just lift up this morning to you, Lord, and we know that Calvin is in your healing hands, God, and we trust in you, for you are the only true physician. And Lord, because of that, Lord, you can heal us of all our illnesses, and you give us all the right medicine and remedies. Lord, that you give wisdom to the doctors. Let the doctors give words of comfort this morning, Lord, but I know that the true comfort comes from you. So, Lord, I pray that your gentle hands, Lord, will cover both Calvin, Alicia, Christian, and the whole family, God. Pray these things in your son's precious name. Amen. 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 Morning, all. So, this morning, I'll be preaching a very short message on Matthew 6, 21. And many of you know that this is part of the message that Jesus was preaching about not laying up treasures in heaven. Verse 21 is actually very short. All that it says is, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A lot of us, when we say the word treasure, if you're asked, "What is your treasure?" I think it's very easy for us to come back and say, well, of course, we treasure our family. We treasure our children. We treasure our spouses. We treasure our parents. We treasure some of our coworkers, not all. We treasure many things in life. But I think all of us would know that the respectable and correct answer, response, is that we treasure our relationships. But then the verse goes on. It says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Heart is a bit more difficult to pinpoint. Now, what does heart actually mean to us? Well, it could mean the central or innermost part of something. It can also mean the place within a person where the feelings or emotions are considered to come from. So when we say things like, "I love you from the bottom of my heart," or "I love you with all my heart." He had a change of heart. "It breaks my heart. His heart leaked." "Don't lose heart." These are all ways to grasp at the meaning of the heart, the meaning of the innermost part of our being, perhaps the well from which we have a passion for something. Well, Scripture actually has a lot to say about the word heart, and little did I know before I prepared for this message that, in fact, it's the most popular word in Scripture after different names of God. So you have God, Lord, Jesus, Father, and then the fifth most popular word in the Bible is heart. So obviously, the Holy Spirit has a lot to say about our hearts. And so this is just a very brief survey of what Scripture says. So for instance, in Exodus 7, when Pharaoh was challenged, his heart was hardened. In Deuteronomy 10 and 30, we're told to circumcise the foreskin of our hearts and be no longer stubborn, so that we will love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, that we may live. In Isaiah 61, when Jesus was quoting this in the Gospels, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." In Psalm 34, "The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Psalm 69, "Reproach has broken my heart, and I am sick and I look for sympathy, but there was none." And Acts 13, "David is a man after God's own heart." So we see a bit more of what heart means in Scriptures. So when we go back to verse 21, "Where our treasures are, there our hearts will be also," we see a synergy between these two words. There's a synonymity. So where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. The trouble, actually, is that when we're asked to identify what these treasures are, in the society that we're in now, we're in fact hiding the things that we do truly value in life. We've been acclimatized to present ourselves in a particular way, in a respectable way. That's because when we speak of treasures, usually these treasures are visible. When you speak of family, you speak of house church leaders that you respect and that you love and that you treasure, the pastors that you treasure. These are visible relationships. But what's actually in our heart, we only know that. We're the first person and the last person to know what is truly going on in our hearts. So instead, I propose to turn the verse on its head. What is in our hearts is what treasure we truly pursue. So brothers and sisters, what is actually in your heart right now? What is it that you persistently pursue? What is always on your mind? Whose approval do you seek? By what or by whom do you measure your value in life? These are the types of introspective questions that we should ask, and the questions that Jesus are interested in. He's not interested in the outside. He's not interested in the answers that we give him. He's interested in the heart when he asks us these questions. Because only then, when we have these questions thrown at us, looking at the heart instead of the visible treasure, that we know what our true treasures are. Only then do we know that, in fact, if we truly confess what is in our hearts, is that we don't wake up every morning praising God's name. God isn't always on our heart. He's not actually always on our mind and thoughts. He's not the one whom we find our value in. He's also not the one who consistently gives us encouragement, because we don't actually always seek his face. That's the real depravity of our hearts. And that's why we need to get real, brothers and sisters. We need to stop putting on a facade and realize that, in fact, our heart is full of idols. John Calvin used to say, "Man's nature, so to speak, is a perpetual factory of idols. Man's mind, full as it is of pride and boldness, dares to imagine a God according to its own capacity." In fact, this is a predicament that was long foretold by Solomon in Proverbs 20, verse 9. He says this, "Who can say, 'I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin'?" Of course, this is a rhetorical question. What Solomon is saying is that no man can say that they have cleansed their own heart and that they're pure from their own sin. Solomon, with the wisdom of God, recognizes that our heart is ill. And that recognition that we wake up every day on the back foot with that sick heart, a sick mind, is in fact the beginning of true wisdom. That is because when we recognize that we're ill, that we recognize we need a physician. And obviously, as I prayed earlier, there's only one physician whom we look to, the physician above. The answer, in fact, is found in Psalm 24. So if we could just turn to Psalm 24. We could just read through the psalm together. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Now again, I haven't finished reading this, but you can see that David is asking a string of questions. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Verse 3. Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. And often when we read these, we think, ah, I need to be the one with the clean hands. I need to be the one with the pure heart. Yes, that's what David is calling us to do. Indeed, that's what we should do, because if we don't do that, then we can't ascend the hill of the Lord. But notice, when there's a word Selah, that's at the end of a particular passage in Psalm, that's actually a moment to pause for reflection. It's not a straightforward question. It's not a question of ticking the box. Yes, I have a clean hand, I have a pure heart. In fact, David is trying to get us to ponder, do we have a clean hand? Do we have a pure heart? Can anyone have a clean hand and a pure heart? Because obviously, the reason he's asking that question is, it's not apparent. There's no hosts of men or women with clean hands and clean hearts. In fact, he's finding this man or woman with a clean hand and clean heart. And hence verse 7, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. David is saying, the one who can ascend the hill of the Lord to enter the ancient gates is the Lord himself. And so we now know, in fact, the only person who has clean hands and clean hearts, first and foremost, is Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one with the clean hand and the clean heart. He's the one who enters into the presence of the Father on our behalf. Only then do we realize that in the face of him, we don't have clean hand and clean hearts. Only he does. And commentator says this about Psalm 24. Notice that Psalm 24 teaches this crucial link between purity and perception. Purity gets you proximity to God and therefore true perception. But who has a pure heart? Only Christ. He is the divine King of glory who ascends the hill of the Lord. He is the great high priest who goes from earth to heaven. Only he is clean on the inside. Therefore, Jesus alone gets to see the Father. And yet here, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks to his followers who are poor in spirit, mournful, meek, etc. And yet, like the true high priest that he is, he declares them clean of heart. And suddenly, we get to share in his unique status and privileges. Just as the true light of the world declares us to be the light of the world, so the true pure of heart declares us to be pure of heart. Brothers and sisters, House Church is starting next week. It's a time to bond. It's a time to get to know new House Church members. And it's a time to invite people to join our House Church, join our spiritual family, embark on a journey and a relationship with Jesus. But can I challenge us to go a little bit deeper? Can we accept that when people ask us how we are, we actually tell them how we are? The response doesn't have to be good. In fact, if it isn't good, say so. If people ask you, what do you treasure? What do you value in life? Don't tell them house church. Because we know that in the deepest recesses of our hearts, sometimes, we find it inconvenient to go to fellowship. We don't feel like going to fellowship. We don't feel like going to church. In the deepest recesses of some of our hearts, that we prefer a typhoon to hit Hong Kong than to go to the sanctuary and pray. Truly, let's be honest. Because only in that honesty that we begin to be real and that we begin to see what requires healing and transformation. And when we realize that in fact we have broken hearts, that as it says in the Psalms, He is near to the brokenhearted. He's not near to those who continue to deceive themselves. He's not near to those who continue to deceive others, because then we are sons of the deceiver. But He is near to those who recognize by the Holy Spirit that we are broken, because the Lord goes to those who are willing to receive Him to be healed. And so let us not lie to ourselves, brothers and sisters. Let us not say things that are empty, but let us engage with our hearts. And I want to end today with this passage from the Psalms. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let us pray. So Father, I just want to dedicate this time to you. And really, this message is one that I felt the Spirit in me wanted to share to prepare us for a new season of fellowship, of house church, of greater depths in our relationships. And yet, with all the activity that this church provides, multiplication of house churches, new house church leaders, it's so easy to get caught in the gaps. It's so easy to hide at the back when the house church becomes large. It's so easy to make up excuses and yet at the same time say that we love house church. Let us be real. Let us be real. As house church leaders, let us be real. As members of the church, let us be real. Because that's how true relationships are born, and that's how true healing takes place. Spend some time in worship. Thanks for leading.
Cry, holy, holy, holy. dried up our tears at the feet of Jesus. Grace abound to all who found the feet of Jesus. No more fears, no more fears. You dried out our tears at the feet of Jesus. Grace abound. The feet of Jesus, we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. He's the Lamb. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy.
Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my heart. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting. Let us spend a bit of time now, and just to allow the Holy Spirit to try our thoughts and to know our hearts. And really just pour our hearts out to Him now, so that He can really mold and heal and transform us from the inside out. Let us spend a bit of time praying for the community. Let's pray for those who have cancer now and also those who are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Pray also for those who are struggling with illness and they don't know Jesus. So pray not only for their physical healing, but that they also meet with Jesus and have an encounter with the Lord. Next up, let's pray for those in our community with infirmities. And we know that at the bottom, we know that Calvin is doing a biopsy this morning, as I mentioned. So let's also pray for him. His biopsy will be taking place in 15 minutes. So yeah, let's pray for him and also focus on a number of people on this list too. You know, if. Next, let's pray for those who are in the middle of a job search, and let's pray that these opportunities present themselves and that they have the wisdom to know which jobs are from you, Lord, and that in the meantime, as they wait and as they search, that they use this time to be closer to you as well. Our mission focus today is North Korea, so let's pray for open doors for ministry there. Obviously, we've been reading news about a lot of things happening there, so let's pray also for the world leaders to have wisdom on how to deal with the different situations. Let's also pray for the missional opportunities in Asia and the persecuted churches throughout Asia and in the Middle East. Let's pray for the leaders and missionaries there now. Thank you. Let's also pray for the different gatherings this weekend. Prison outreach, drug rehab, outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, Spin, and activities, GIC, LAM, and all the meetings. And obviously we know that there is a storm coming and that there might be a typhoon tomorrow. Let's pray that there isn't one, that we can still proceed with our services tomorrow and really gather together. There's something special about gathering here in the sanctuary and not listening to a sermon online or live stream. But also pray for the safety of the people in Hong Kong. We know what happened in the last few weeks. We shouldn't take these things lightly. So let's also pray for safety over this weekend. Finally, let's pray for SP 2.0. As some of you know, this is the building that we've been praying for, a location where we can meet permanently and not rent. And so let's pray for that building. And we received word that it would be a gift to us by a benefactor. And so, let's pray. Let's pray for that benefactor's obedience. And let's pray that that the church, that we as a church, would be ready to move to that place as well. So, Lord, search me, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting. Lord, we thank you for this morning. And God, that I pray that we do ask this question of ourselves every day, and that in trying, in asking you to search us, in trying us, in revealing the deepest corners of our hearts, that we can then start to receive healing. So, Lord, we thank you in advance for being our healer. We thank you for being that physician. We thank you that Jesus has done what he's done on the cross to open the way. We thank you that he is the one that is pure of heart and that he declares us as pure of heart, God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the Spirit, God. We thank you. And again, we lift up Calvin right now. We lift up Calvin and Alicia and his family, God. Lord, we know that you too, not just the healers of our hearts, but the healers of our bodies as well, Lord. So we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a good time of prayer, and hopefully I'll see you in the sanctuary tomorrow.